But next we turn to Sarah Summerhill. She's our Old Mole intern from Washington State University, and she's here to reflect on the coronavirus pandemic, climate change emergency, and the use of this time as an opportunity to find new and creative ways to come together.
Social distancing is a phrase that has undoubtedly planted itself and bloomed in the minds of everyone listening over the past few weeks. It's a phrase that requires no definition, but not one I, or many others, were familiar with until COVID-19 began making its way across the globe and causing worldwide panic in a pandemic. As hard as I've tried to love it, when I see the phrase written up before me right now, I picture myself alone in my home for the next 6 weeks, slowly spiraling down into a physical, deep, dark pit, muggy waters fading my surroundings and a clenching feeling wedged into the back of my throat and in my heart. The phrase reminds me of a feeling my generation has grappled with for far too many years now on an ever-growing upward curve. Eco-anxiety. The insistent fear of global human extinction, the sweaty palms and minds that come with the never-ending depictions of thick, blood-red oil resisting the turquoise waters of the Gulf of Mexico in 2010. A sooty, smoky society ruined by Chernobyl in 1986, and blankets and bodies of fish, whales, sea lions, or seals covering the world's beaches adorned with broken glass bottles and random, unidentifiable pieces of plastic. I don't know about you, but I've never looked a tiger in the eye. Not a lion either, or a cougar, or a flesh-eating fish. The closest I've come to being eaten by any kind of vicious creature was a spider in my bathroom last summer that my dad thought might have been a brown recluse. Yeah, I've got that instinct, like everyone else. Fight or flight, that inherent freeze or jump run screen that grabs hold of my body when I think I might be in danger. That instinct is supposed to keep me safe, but causes more trouble than I sometimes think it's worth. I often wish that feeling away would do anything to be free of its grip, now in the midst of a pandemic more than ever. In the moments where clarity is on my side, I think of a lesser known scene than the one with the apricot in the film Call Me By Your Name. What lies ahead is going to be very difficult, Elio's father relates to his son from the intimate setting of their couch. In your place, if there's pain, nurse it, and if there's a flame, don't snuff it out, don't be brutal with it. We rip out so much of ourselves to be cured of things faster than we should that we go bankrupt by the age of 30 and have less to offer each time we start with someone new. But to feel nothing so as not to feel anything, what a waste. While Dr. Perlman may have been relating the topic to his son's sexual discovery, I can't help but think of his words each time I'm searching for certainty in an uncertain world. Many will argue, in an attempt to cage us down, that what we do doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Though they speak truth, radical social change is required for our issues to have widespread impact. Activism is more than a push for change in the world. It is often a change within ourselves to see the world we live in at its rawest, with all the awful truths, but also all of the wonderful good. Often, when faced with seemingly nonstop adversity, it's all we can do to keep ourselves from falling between the cracks. That change sustains our movements. We can do nothing or we can do something. The outcome may remain the same, but in the latter option, the least we have is hope, and the most we have is a better world for ourselves and those we love. To be young and to be an activist lowers our status in many respects. When we ask for understanding, our words are distorted in the well mouths of politicians. When we fight for help, we are handed empty promises and stolen speeches, then put on the back burner of the print presses that stamp out mint green dollar bills out of splinted trees we hold in our hands. We show love and nothing but, and we are given in return sprays of glacial, tarnished water, lacrimator gases, and violence. And yet activists will be. The feeling of fear wallows inside of us when day turns to night and little good news comes our way. But the anxiety, as awful as it is not useless. While it paralyzes us for a moment, while sadness washes over us and holds us beneath the water, tides always go out eventually, and we may push back against the gravity which forms those waves. We band together. Creeks and streams converging to form rivers ready to take on oceans. That feeling of fear stems from the innate human desire to survive, and we can unleash it the way forces of nature are meant to be freed. Some have deemed coronavirus a wake-up call, proof that society cannot continue in the same binding monetary systems which pen us in, turn our blood to wires, and our flesh to machines of metal. Many may find themselves with a sudden surge in blank space, free time they must fill. What would it be like if we took time to feel ourselves? To feel all that's been pushed to the back burner for a 9-to-5 work life balanced with steady social lives? If we took this time for curiosity, allowed our sadness to come out and play, to find what agendas push it onto us. With the outbreak of coronavirus comes the push for social distancing, which puts the necessary human connection in a bit of a bind. But I see people continuing to help each other in this time of need. Now more than ever, we must come together during a time in which the world is calling for us to stay apart. Forces of destruction do not take pause during emergencies like pandemics, and we may feel helpless and unable to make a difference while physically confined. Right now, we must protect our most vulnerable, flatten the curve, and help the most people that we can. It feels as if we must sit and wait. But the world hasn't stopped moving. Seasons continue to change. Snow melts, and every day, creeks and rivers begin rushing deeper in preparation for spring and summer. Now is the time to build our energy reserves, collect potential, and prepare to unleash it when we are able. This time is our winter, and we are in hibernation, but we are not sleeping the time away. While we take a pause from the systems which confine us for most of our lives, let us breathe the idea of a world where people are connected through human need, through water, space, and love, rather than through forced organizations of destruction. Let us take down the dams and let water flow freely for a bit. Let us see where new streams and rivers develop.
This is